From the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Wednesday, March 19th. I'm Abby Larico. The USDA's Rural Development Agency spends billions of dollars a year shoring up struggling small towns and helping farmers. But abrupt terminations and court-ordered rehiring have all but paralyzed the agency.
Think of the time that you're taken away from these folks doing their actual job, and that is money. It's all it is. It's money.
How rural development is being impacted by Trump administration cuts. That's coming up after this news on The Gateway. St. Louis prosecutors have charged two men in connection with a carjacking and a crash that left a police officer and suspect with serious injuries. SLMPD officers on Monday had been pursuing a stolen Acura to eastbound Interstate 70 near Shreve. The officer was attempting to arrest a suspect in the express lanes at the location when a Cadillac traveling in those lanes crashed into both of them and then drove away. The Cadillac's driver now faces three felony charges. The injured officer had to have his leg partially amputated. The suspect is in critical condition. The driver of the carjacked Acura is also facing charges. Another SLMPD officer, David Lee, was struck and killed on the job on I-70 in September. Demolition of the medium security institution in North St. Louis, known as the Workhouse, is now underway. It follows a years-long campaign to close it. St. Louis Public Radio's Lucretia Wembley reports.
Okay, Matt, start the demolition.
Inez Bordeaux from Arch City Defenders signals an excavator to begin demolishing the workhouse. She's been a part of a campaign since 2018 to have the jail torn down because of inhumane conditions for detainees.
I feel like so incredibly emotional. I'm so excited for what this means for the future of St. Louis, to know that no other person is going to suffer here, to die here.
The city is paying over $2 million for the demolition. Applications for proposals to create a memorial at the site will be accepted until May 13th. I'm Lucretia Wembley, St. Louis Public Radio.
With 3 weeks until the general election in St. Louis, the two candidates for mayor are ramping up their attacks, including during a joint appearance on the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air. Incumbent Tashara Jones and Alderwoman Kara Spencer generally take similar policy positions on major issues like crime and development, but Spencer says Jones lacks urgency in areas like fixing basic city services and providing transparency. Jones, meanwhile, has hit Spencer hard for thousands of dollars in donations to her political action committee from major developers and business figures.
I don't abandon my values for six-figure checks to my campaigns.
Spencer says she would never allow funders to drive her policy decisions. Spencer also says she would be more open to the mayor's office having more direct control over St. Louis public schools. Currently, the mayor plays no role in oversight of the district. It's provided by a seven-person elected board. Spencer's teenage son is an SLPS student. She says she supports the current process for right now.
I am open to considering other ways in which we could govern our school district. But right now, I'm focused on doing the job of the mayor as outlined in the city charter and under current laws.
Mayor Jones says she does not support the mayor being more involved in the schools. Listen to the full episode of the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air with STLPR's Rachel Lippman and Jason Rosenbaum and the two mayoral candidates on our website or wherever you get podcasts like this one. The election is April 8th. Homer G. Phillips Memorial Hospital has surrendered its license to Missouri health officials. This comes after health operators at the three-bed hospital in North St. Louis didn't submit an acceptable correction plan for deficiencies. The facility closed in December after Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services inspectors found that it didn't have enough blood supply. Hospital officials said then that the closure was temporary, but about 80 employees were laid off via email last month. According to a DHSS spokesperson, the operators submitted a plan of corrections in February, but it wasn't accepted because it lacked details. The hospital's license was set to expire Monday. People cleaning up from storm damage in Rolla are trying to recover important mementos and family items. St. Louis Public Radio's Jonathan All reports on how the Rolla Public Library is looking to help.
Some Rolla residents are finding photos and other important items in their yards, tossed about when a tornado tore across the city. The Rolla Public Library is telling people to bring those items to the library. Director Rebecca Buckley says this is a way they can help in storm recovery.
Librarians are good at connecting people and information and ideas. In addition to connecting people to resources, maybe we can connect people to their lost items as well.
Buckley says each item will include as much information as possible on where it was found, and a photo will be posted on the library's Facebook page. In Rolla, I'm Jonathan Aul, St. Louis Public Radio.
Francis Howell School District in St. Charles County has hired Mike Dominguez as its new superintendent. He joins the district after the board conducted a national search. Dominguez is a career educator and school administrator. He currently serves as the superintendent for Garden City Public Schools in neighboring Kansas. Francis Howell has been the focus of culture war issues after the school board last year voted to approve changes to the Black Studies curriculum and ban discussion of gender identity in classrooms. The school board has two seats up for election on April 8th. Dominguez will join the school district in July. And the former superintendent for the Ferguson-Florissant School District will not be returning to his role. Joe Davis has been placed on leave pending an investigation. Two principals sued the district last year, alleging that Davis sexually harassed them. The school board said in a statement that they did not find that Davis had engaged in any illegal conduct, but do believe the district needs new leadership. Currently, two co-superintendents are overseeing the school district. The board said it plans to pay out the remainder of Davis's contract, despite a nearly $8 million budget shortfall for the next school year. The district says it's actively working to reduce spending. As Southern Illinois University Edwardsville administrators face a $10 million budget deficit, one of the first proposals is eliminating the physics program. St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer reports that's being met with pushback from faculty.
The university leadership's proposal would not completely eliminate all physics courses. It would eliminate the physics major and minor, but it would keep core physics classes required for other sciences and engineering majors. The proposal cites lower numbers of students in the physics major and low enrollment in upper-level courses as among the reasons for possible elimination. Abdul Latif Hamad is the chair of the physics department. He says the faculty are aware of the low enrollment numbers.
Which is not unusual. This is like a national trend to cut the physics program because of low enrollment, while it's still money producer, is kind of surprising.
Hamad and other professors offered their criticism at a campus forum this week. SIUE administrators say a decision could be made by July. In Edwardsville, I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
A bald eagle in St. Louis County, whose unusual dedication to parenting gained national attention, has died. St. Louis Public Radio's Danny Wisentowski reports.
The World Bird Sanctuary announced that Murphy the bald eagle was found deceased in his aviary over the weekend. In 2023, Murphy's behavior drew visitors to his enclosure and to the nest he had built on the ground. Murphy, it turns out, was incubating a rock. Eventually, the sanctuary introduced Murphy to an injured eaglet, and Murphy became a real foster dad. Murphy went on to raise a second eaglet who is still in the sanctuary's care. Murphy died after a head injury. The sanctuary said the weekend's fierce storms may have contributed to his passing. Murphy leaves behind numerous fans, the eagles he raised, and the rock he so faithfully cared for. He was 33 years old. I'm Danny Wisentowski, St. Louis Public Radio.
Fly high, Murphy. It's been a turbulent couple of months at the federal agency that funnels funding to many rural communities. USDA Rural Development experienced hundreds of layoffs, then had employees called back. As Harvest Public Media contributor Frank Morris reports, that uncertainty may erode a major source of federal subsidies for small towns and farms.
Raising big animals for meat is tough, and on small farms, owners do all the work.
It's not a job that you can just shut on and off. It's a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week job, and you really have to be passionate about it to do it.
Janet Batchelder and her husband Brad and four kids raise cattle, pigs, bison, and poultry near Belton, Missouri.
This winter has been a hard one, and sometimes you question your life choices when it's negative 25 wind chill. Yeah. Checking calves, cutting ice, making sure that everyone's warm, you know.
They've had this farm for a decade and spent most of that time living with their four kids in a walled-off, furnished section of the barn. When the pandemic hit and shut down big meatpacking plants, they saw an opportunity to sell individual cuts of meat. But going from raising livestock to also processing it and marketing it is a big step.
We kind of didn't know if we should go to that next level of shipping, marketing, restaurants, butcher shops, and how do you get there?
Brad Batchelder says a grant from USDA Rural Development made it possible.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was really almost life-changing for us. This grant has definitely, like, we see a path and a vision now, and that has been even more motivating to us, I think.
Pork is in here. We have our beef products in this freezer.
Now they're running a thriving meat shop out of a corner of the barn where they used to live. USDA Rural Development covers half their processing costs. That investment flows through the rural economy to local butchers and other suppliers, and it makes the food supply chain just a little stronger. USDA Rural Development is rooted in the Great Depression. It's Washington's primary tool to boost rural areas, places where President Trump won, on average, almost two-thirds of the vote last year. But Kyle Wilkins, who ran USDA Rural Development in Missouri under President Biden, says the agency is in turmoil.
Because they don't know what's going to happen tomorrow.
The Trump administration first pressed USDA Rural Development employees to retire, then terminated hundreds. Now, courts are forcing the agency to rehire workers with back pay, at least temporarily.
Think of the time that you're taken away from these folks doing their actual job, and that is money. It's all it is. It's money.
Money increasingly in short supply. Congress cut USDA Rural Development by hundreds of millions of dollars last year. Owen Hart with the National Association of Counties says that rural housing alone took a $200 million hit.
And if we see those cuts extend to other USDA programs, we could see a reduction in service in a lot of rural communities.
A huge problem for farm country, because USDA Rural Development does things that local governments can't afford. Building water systems that cost millions for small, shrinking towns, for instance. Shoring up hospitals, buying police cars. It's an economic lifeline to places without a lot of options.
In a lot of these communities, USDA Rural Development is the most important partner. You can't rely on private investment coming in. The market's just often not there for it. You can't rely on philanthropy like you can in a lot of urban areas to meet some of these needs. And so rural development is a really, really crucial partner.
That includes manufacturers that Trump is counting on to boost U.S. industrial production. There's Kyle Wilkins again, standing outside a cabinet factory in Excelsior Springs, Missouri.
That is a huge industrial building that they're making cabinets in. And half of it, which I'd say at least half a football field, is covered in solar panels.
USDA covered half the cost of the enormous solar array topping this building, $250,000.
And right now, almost every small community in Missouri can use that economic goosing, that little bit of help.
Farm state politicians will work to shore up the agency that's done so much for their constituents over the decades. But Wilkins says it'll take time to heal the damage recently inflicted on USDA Rural Development. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Frank Morris.
Harvest Public Media is a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains, including STLPR. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Theme music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.